15-minute drill
on the Bill Riley Show.
A quick hit look at what's going on around the world of sports locally,
regionally,
and nationally. The 2-minute drill
brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial
on Utah's number one sports talk,
ESPN 700.
All right, 2-minute drill, and then we'll talk some Pac-12 football with Nick Aliotti. 2-minute drill presented by our friends at Alta Mortgage Financial as we begin hour two on a Thursday here on the Bill Riley Show. A little later tonight, up at the University of Utah, not downtown tonight, but up at the University of Utah at the Huntsman Center, the final day of Summer League here in Salt Lake City. Early game at 5 o'clock, pitting the two teams that have played pretty well here. That's the Boston Celtics and the San Antonio Spurs. Then the evening matchup, the 7 o'clock matchup between the Jazz and the Philadelphia 76ers. Bob Cooney covers the Sixers for the Philadelphia Daily News, and he joins us here on the Bill Riley Show. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bill. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing terrific. It's been a weird, obviously people that follow the NBA know it's been a weird few years in Philadelphia. Terrible basketball, tanking for draft picks, the Henke era ends. You get another number one draft pick. I mean, this is getting to be old hat for Philly fans. Does this summer feel any different with Ben Simmons coming in?
It feels a lot different because if you think back of their other draft picks, and Jahlil Okafor, it was kind of disappointing that they fell to number three. They were hoping to get either number one or number two. They fell to three, so they got Okafor. The year before, they get Joel Embiid, who still hasn't played in the NBA. So they get the number one pick. That excites fans. And then what Ben Simmons did the other night, and believe me, I'm not one to put any stock into a summer league game, but he looked really good, and he looks like a player that could really fit into what Brett Brown and Brian Colangelo are looking to do in the future.
So I mean, obviously the Colangelos are trying to put their stamp on it. Brown's kind of survived things here. What are the expectations for this year? Is it just to kind of get a direction for this basketball team, and then maybe 2 years from now this team might be good?
Yeah, I think so. I think this year the big thing is looking at Joel Embiid. Can he stay on the court? Can he stay healthy? How long can he go? How good is he? How can he and Ben Simmons play together? Dario Saric may be coming over from Turkey, so it's a year where you want to take a look at him. It's a guy that Philadelphia fans have big expectations for. And then you still have that combination of Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noel that you just don't know how it's going to play out. Maybe both are still here when the season starts. Maybe one's traded for another need. So it's just going to kind of be a year of feeling things out, I believe, and then looking to put pieces together for the future, whether it's 2, 3, or 4 years down the road.
Well, it might be trade deadline trades, too, because, I mean, when you're talking about Noel and Okafor, teams might want to see them play a little bit more before they invest in a trade in those guys, so maybe Philadelphia's active during the year.
Yeah, no, and people have a chance to see them play more because I don't think Joel Embiid, we've already been told he won't play back-to-back games. He's going to be on a minute restriction, so there's going to be time, even though the Sixers have a lot of big guys. Embiid isn't probably going to be playing 30 minutes anytime soon in a game. You're probably talking more 15-20. Okafor is coming off meniscus surgery. He isn't going full tilt yet from what I've heard. So there's going to be minutes there for big men, and they'll be able to show off their talents to the rest of the league and see what happens.
Well, it's the Sixers and the Jazz in the final summer league game here in Salt Lake City at the U tonight. And Ben Simmons, as long as he doesn't cramp up again, should be back on display. Bob, thanks.
All right, thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it. Bob Cooney, Philadelphia Sixers insider with the Daily News in Philadelphia. We shift from basketball to the world game of soccer, and we've got Copa is done. It's in the back, but it's in a rearview mirror. We've got the Euros winding down, and Jeff Carlisle, kind enough to join us here on the Bill Riley Show, ESPN soccer columnist. All right, Jeff, before we talk Euros, let's wrap up Copa and kind of give me your opinion on the state of U.S. soccer as we sit now two years out from the next World Cup.
Well, I think it was a good tournament for the U.S. Jurgen Klinsmann stated quite clearly that the goal was to get to the semifinals. I thought that was overly ambitious, but, give the U.S. team credit. They did it. They picked up some good results along the way. Obviously, there's still a pretty sizable gap between the U.S. team and the world's best, and that was a pretty humbling result that the U.S. received at the hands of Argentina. But, I think the positives were, some personnel questions got resolved, namely, what's his preferred center back pairing. I thought Bobby Wood showed well. I think that gives the U.S. another forward option and makes it, a little less dependent on a Jose Altidore, when he's not available. So, You know, and then I thought guys like, Ali Bedoya, I thought, delivered, some good two-way performances. I mean, he's always a guy that's going to work hard. I think there's still some questions about the midfield and where the creativity is going to come from going forward. And that's why in that third place game, I was a little disappointed we didn't see more of a Christian Pulisic and a Darlington Nagby. That seemed an ideal time to kind of maybe stretch them a little bit in terms of challenging them to see how they're going to do against a quality opponent. And, I think as the U.S. heads into World Cup qualifying, that's still the big question. How is that, to which players is that, creative baton going to be passed to as we head into 2018 and, further into 2018 qualifying, I should say.
And I know he's become a punching bag, and I've taken my shots as well, but Michael Bradley clearly wasn't himself and hasn't really been himself, I don't think, in a while. Is he the guy still in the midfield for the next World Cup cycle? I know he'll obviously be part of qualifying, but you were just talking about the creativity in the midfield. It just wasn't there, and his health or his lack thereof may have played a part in that. But how big a role in 2 years do you think Michael Bradley is as part of this U.S. soccer team?
I still think he has a big role to play, but I think his role ought to be kind of as a number six, a guy that kind of sits in front of the defense, breaks up plays. Certainly the U.S. midfield, I thought, functioned better when Jermaine Jones was in there, and it kind of allowed to create havoc all over the field, with Bradley sitting back a little bit. The roles haven't always been defined. I think that's been part of the problem when those two guys have been on the field together. Who's the guy to sit? Who's the guy to get forward? I mean, granted, you want to have a little bit of unpredictability. You don't want it to be so obvious to read, but I just think the way that Jones kind of goes crazy all over the field and tackles and it gets into the final third. And he delivered some good passes. I think about that goal that one of the goals that Dempsey got off a header. That was off a Jermaine Jones pass. So, he is getting up there. So, there is the question of how long the U.S. is going to be able to count on him. And the same applies to Dempsey as well. So, I think it's going to have to be someone other than Michael Bradley, I think, to kind of have that primary attack, creative responsibility in the final third. So I do think Bradley will be there, but I think it ought to be a little bit deeper role than maybe we saw at the last World Cup.
All right, two more quick things. We're coming up on the next transfer window. We've seen big international names added to Major League Soccer in recent years at this time of year. We've seen Guardado's name mentioned. I don't know if now is the right time for him, but do you anticipate any big names joining MLS for the stretch run?
There's always a few, but those names tend to leak out a little bit earlier. Last year, I was thinking about the guys that came in, and guys like Pirlo arrived,
right?
Girard and Lampard, but they're those names, those last two names were pretty well known going into the summer window. They were already locked up. So, Dos Santos, and then some under the radar guys like a Lucas Milano, who finally seems to be coming good for Portland. He's had a couple of strong outings the last few games as well. But we'll see what happens. It might be a case where this time around guys are exiting. We'll see what happens with Steve Birnbaum in D.C. and whether he leaves the league. It's a situation where it's always a delicate balance in terms of when you try to lock these guys up. Or a team, or if you're MLS, thinking about it from an MLS perspective. So we'll see what he does. I think that offer of 700 grand is going to have to go up a little bit, maybe into the seven-figure range, for him to kind of take the plunge.
Jeff, thanks as always. Good catching up with you. We'll talk to you again.
Absolutely, anytime.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Carlisle from ESPN talking some soccer here on the 2-Minute Drill. We were running a little long, so I didn't get his thoughts on Euros, but we'll do that another time. 2-Minute Drill brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial.